roll here with Coach Hofer in 3, 2, and 1. Jim Taylor back on the WRMJ Sports Line on this Saturday morning. The Mercer County Golden Eagles at home last night down at Pratt Memorial Field, and they pick up a 31-14 win over the Stark County Rebels last night. Go to 2-2 on the season. Coach, more importantly, stay tied atop the LTC. Now 2-0. What'd you think of the effort last night?
You know, I thought our effort was very good. Execution is getting better as the season goes on here. I thought our kids played hard, and it was a warm one last night. You could tell the heat took effect on both teams, and there was a lot of plays, especially in the first half. The pace of the game was pretty quick in the first half, slowed down a little bit in the second half. But, whenever you can come out with a victory, especially over a conference rival, you're always happy.
Yeah, kind of a weird, when I look at the stats last night, like first downs, I see Mercer County 17, Stark County 15, so kind of even in that statistical category. But I guess when it mattered the most, you didn't, you know, let them get in the end zone.
Yeah, and it turned out that almost all those first downs that Stark had, probably over half of those came on maybe one and a half drives. And, in the first half, we did a really nice job of limiting anything that they wanted to do. They only had a couple first downs in the first half, and we were able to kind of establish ourselves up front. As the game went on and both teams got a little bit tired, started to slow down a little bit, and you could see that some of our guys were wearing out a little bit, and they started to get a little momentum on us, and we were able to force some turnovers and keep them out of the end zone when it counted.
Yeah, because it is really kind of weird when I look at, the stats, though. So the 15 first downs, but they have, 119 yards rushing. So, I mean, that's a doable number defensively, and then about 106 yards passing. And I know 334 were, I think, total yards unofficially for Mercer County last night. I know it's kind of a weird start. I heard the beginning of the game where, you look at a scoreless first quarter and you think, oh, it's going to be one of those type of games where maybe it's going to come down to a one-score differential. But you get some breathing room, I think, a little bit in the second quarter. So what about that second period last night for the Golden Eagles that allowed you to, have a two-score lead heading into the locker room?
Like we talked about, in the first half, the defense was really doing a nice job, and we were able to put them in some bad spots and make them do some things that they weren't comfortable with. We got a big fourth down stop when they went for it in their own territory. We were able to do that, and then in the second quarter, we were able to get a blocked punt, and that set us up with great field position. We were able to punch that one in, and once we were able to get that one on the board, it seemed to kind of get everything going. We had another nice drive to get up with two scores, and then unfortunately had another nice drive going at the end of the half and couldn't quite punch it in. I would have liked to have put that one in and really kind of put a foot down a little bit, but still a young team, kind of learning how to finish that off, and we're doing better finishing off our drives now. We need to learn to take care of teams and put them away when we have a chance.
Well, and that's the thing where, you leave some points out there on the field in the second quarter, so you come out in the third quarter, they go on, about a 70-yard drive, and with 9 minutes left to go in the third quarter, it's a 13-6 game. So, but looked like you responded after that as Evan Terrell comes through with a couple of touchdowns, a 44-yard drive and a 55-yard drive. But things got a little bit, I guess, too close for comfort early in that third, but you did respond after that.
Yeah, it was interesting. They came out and they were all over the place offensively last night, ran some wing tee on us. Then in the second half, they decided to come out and go back to their bread and butter, the spread stuff, and they had some success with it, and we had to make another adjustment after they scored on that drive, and after that we were able to kind of get back into our defensive rhythm and take them out of theirs.
So you finish them off 31 to 14 is the final, and looking at Mercer County offensively, talking about the 17 first downs last night, Wyatt Kellogg came back, had a big night rushing the ball, 22 carries, and 116 yards. I guess that's the one good sign. I know, not pleased with the two losses early in the season. I get that. But it's nice where you've seen some kind of different kids step up, and you got nice production from Evan Terrell last night. And we know about Trayson Essig last week. He stepped in and really had a productive night in that week three victory. So, offensively, as the season progresses, I guess that's the one thing that I find promising is that you're starting to get some contributions, some key contributions from, multiple kids.
Yeah, and you're seeing a lot of young guys step up. Last week you mentioned Trey. Trey's a sophomore, and obviously we've talked at length about our quarterback, Rashawn, another sophomore. And last night Evan Terrell had a big game rushing. He's a junior, and, you know, our seniors are doing a great job, but we've got kids stepping up all over the place. And then it was nice to get Kellogg back last night in the lineup, and obviously you can tell that we're a little bit different with him in the lineup. So we've got guys all over the place that are stepping up and making plays, and I thought kind of one of the unsung heroes of our game last night was Quentin King, which, you know, for a wide receiver sounds a little weird to say he's an unsung hero, but going back and watching that tape, he did an excellent job of blocking out in the flats last night and stock blocking to really set up some nice runs. So it's little things like that, and we're getting contributions all over the place, and that really helps you out. And when you're getting 10, 11 guys you can contribute for your ball club, you start to stockpile some depth, and hope, and that usually bodes well for your team.
Yeah, and you have 251 yards rushing last night, I think 83 yards passing. Rashawn was 7 of 15, I think. Was it by design last night, wanted to run the ball a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean,
That's
by design weekly, really. we'd like to run the ball consistently. Sometimes the game situations haven't dictated that for us. But, yeah, we'd like to run the ball, and we want to try to continue to establish our run game. And the 7 for 15 passing is a little misleading. We had, oh, man, I bet at least half of those misses were drops. And so we've got to get those taken care of, because once we are able to kind of cross that hurdle and get rid of some of these penalties and some of these drops, if we can do that, our offense, you know, the sky's the limit for those guys.
Well, and I say it often that, you know, in the course of a 48-minute game, you can't play perfect. I know that. But, you know, those situations when you get down in the game and you have to come back, that's when you kind of have to play perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just no margin for error, and that's the thing, you know, you get the win last night in the, you know, 31-14 victory, but, you know, that's a crooked number when you have 7 penalties for 65 yards, and that I know that's an area you'll need to clean up heading into the Anawan-Weathersfield matchup.
Yeah, and almost all those, I think 6 of them came in the first half, and we talked about that at length at halftime by cleaning up those mistakes, and our guys did a good job, responded very well in the second half, even though there was a lot of tired legs out there. You know, didn't let ourselves get sloppy and lazy with those penalties. Had a little bit of an issue with that in the first half. So, yeah, you're definitely correct. When you're playing the top teams in the conference, and, you know, if you want to beat those guys, you've got to come out and you've got to play as close to mistake-free football as you can.
Well, tell us about the progress here of the offensive and defensive line. I know, you know, on the one side of the ball, you've been playing a lot of young kids. What have you thought of their progress now, heading toward week 5?
Well, you know what's interesting for our team? Last year we couldn't seem to sustain drives really on the offensive side, and this year we can't. You know, we haven't really busted a big play yet. In my opinion, we've had a lot of just good sustained drives. Haven't really made things easier on ourselves at times. We've had a lot of good drives, and I think that's kind of a testament to those guys up front. They're more physical than we were a little bit last year, and they're able to help us with those down blocks quite a bit more than we have in the past year. So the development of that front five has been really good on the offensive side. You know, there's still, you know, still got a lot of guys who have 3 or 4 games in their varsity careers up there. So we still got some learning to do, and there's still room for improvement, but we like what we're seeing from them. And I mentioned Coach Lucas last night. I think he's done a good job with those guys. And then on the defensive side, it's kind of been a rotation of guys, and depending on what we're seeing from week to week and what we like as far as physicality versus speed up front. And, you know, compared to 2 weeks ago, I'm feeling a lot better about those guys. They've kind of stepped up after that Illini West game and taken it to heart and have not let us get beat physically in the trenches.
All right, Anawan-Weathersfield week, and I've you know, much respect to them, because I thought, you know, heading into last season, they lost a bunch of good players. You know, I'll say heading into this season then, they lost a bunch of good players. But they're still putting it together, and, you know, this is one of the, you know, marquee programs in the league. I mean, they play deep into the postseason. They've been the last couple of years. And, again, we talk about, you know, they've been graduating some good players every year. So this is, you know, I think this is a telltale game for Mercer County heading into week five and, you know, getting a chance and getting a crack at a pretty good team, too. So I know we'll talk to you later in the week, but just give us a thumbnail sketch of Anawan Weathersfield week.
Well, I think the one staple that they've had going for them the last two or three years is their complement of guys in the, as far as specialties go. With the running backs and receivers, they've had several guys now who have played for two or three seasons, and those guys in the backfield and out wide, and they're still there, and they're still making a lot of plays, and they're probably in those areas the elite of the conference right now. And you're talking about a team who's come off of two great seasons especially, and a program that's really coming into its own, and you've got to be able to match their intensity up front and be able to try to take away the things that those guys do out on the edge as much as you can. When you got talent like a couple of those dudes do, you've got to take it away as much as you can, knowing that they're going to make some plays, but then you've got to make it as difficult as possible for them to make those plays. And that's something that our guys are going to be up to the challenge for this week. It's something that we're going to focus on, and you know, hopefully we'll be able to give them some looks that you know, can slow them down mentally a little bit and try to negate some of their speed.
All right. Before I let you go, I know we're talking to you on the September the 16th. I meant to ask you this last week. The Hall of Fame nominations, I think they close, I think, is it October 31st, maybe something like that. I want to remind our listening audience that, you know, if you want to nominate someone for the 2018 Hall of Fame class, I think in January or February is when the induction ceremony is, but a little bit about how that works and how people, if they want to submit a nomination.
Yeah, nominations can be submitted to the high school. You can turn them into either myself or one of the secretaries, and they'll get them to me. And, you know, we'll have, coming up here later in the fall, we'll have our Hall of Fame committee. We'll be sitting down together and going through the nominations, and at that point we'll pick out the representatives of the 2018 class, and then that ceremony will be in January.
All right, and the bonus question I have for you today, and most coaches say, oh, no, here we go again, but I was going to ask you, I was talking to one of my radio friends about this week, Brian Roosh, and I'm supportive of it. I don't have a problem with it, and he gave me a hard time for supporting it, and he said, you're going to make a bunch of football coaches mad by your support of this. Did you see in the IHSA board minutes, I think it was last week, they're looking at potentially e-gaming or video gaming, a state tournament series as maybe an emerging sport?
Yeah.
What do you think about that? You'll say, Taylor, I want to see kids play actual football and not video game football. Maybe that's what John Elder would tell me. I know he would.
Well, it's an interesting concept. I'm not sure it's feasible or realistic, especially in low-income districts, because I don't think people would understand the true costs of doing that and what you actually need equipment-wise to actually be competitive. I think kids around the state would be excited about it in saying that, you know, I happened to stumble across e-gaming on ESPN one day over the summer and watched about 5 minutes of it, and it's interesting. But I don't think that most of our normal, even avid video game players in our school district understand what it actually would entail to do that, and so it would be an interesting concept. I'm not sure how that would work regulation-wise or getting the equipment and money for it, but, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
All right, Coach, have a good week of practice, and we'll talk to you next Saturday morning. Always exciting when the Golden Eagles and Anawan Weathersfield Titans get together. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, Andrew Hofer with us. We'll have more on Sportsline in a moment.